Okay, the Shulchan Aruch says follows in Siman Nun Hey. Ir she'ein bo elam asora ve'echot mehem roitzelot says b'yom menorim. What happens if there is a city where there is 10 people exactly, a city where there is 10 people exactly, and one of them wants to leave for the yom menorim? This was quite common, that there was a very, very small keila, only 10 people, and one of them wants to go for yom menorim. He wants to go to his rebbe or to his rov or to his wherever it may be. Can he leave? Can a place with where there's exactly 10 people, can a person leave the minyan for good reason? We're not talking about going to south of Spain for good reason. Can you? Can he not? So the Shulchan Aruch says, "Mechayvin oisol ishoya." He must stay. He must stay, even if he's going for good reason. He must stay. He's got an obligation towards the community. Or, alternatively, what he can do is lehaskir achabim koimo. He can pay for somebody to come to town on his behalf. So, what we need is not him. We need what we call in plain English. How do you call him? The center, yeah. We don't need him personally. It's not a personal matter. It's about that he is breaking the minyan. He's destroying the minyan. So he must, he's obligated to bring somebody else instead of him if he chooses to go away. What happens? So let's see what Shulchan Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkot Nus Hamachvav. B'mkoyimoy, shekimen sheminek b'chol tfutzis Yisrael. Since the minig is everywhere in Klal Yisrael, afilo oisam she'en lo'em minyan sholem kol ha'shono. Even if this particular place doesn't have a minyan the whole year round, all they do is they have a minyan in Rosh Hashanah, so'ichin lo'em echot, oishnayim b'yom no'iroim, oihoylchim le'mok ha'minyan. Harei zeh do'im ele sefer Torah v'es ha'knesset sh'bnei yekoyfen zeh zeh. What Mishnah Berurah says is that this halach is specifically with regards to Yom Noiroim. Because the minhag in Klal Yisrael is, even if you have a village, a tiny little settlement, where there is no minyan generally, Yom Noiroim, you got to have a minyan. Normally people would pay even, that people should come into the... What other place that are struggling with a minyan? I don't know. But I'm thinking of Luton, I don't know why. Yeah, so if on a random weekday, showing there's no minyan, but if you've got for Shonim Kip, you've got to ensure there's a minyan. So the minyan was always to ensure that Yom Noiroim is a minyan. Now here, even if the whole year round there is no minyan, but on Rosh Hashanah there tends to be a minyan. All nine? Then it's no question. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. Good question, actually, because it's about you're messing around the nine around you. That's the issue. So if you're not messing them around, then it's fine. It's not that the city needs, you know, ruchniestigli, the city needs a minyan. It's not that. The point is that you're messing around.
Why when the guy runs out
because you started better. Here, you're not even starting. You have no minion. You should have had a minion, and he's destroyed it. Yes, so we do tell the 10th person. We do tell the 10th person, you either stay or you pay somebody on your behalf. Because the halacha is, once you've started, you may continue. He's not destroying anything. But I think that's what you're referring to. What happens in the following case? What happens if there's 11? And two want to go. What do you do then? In terms of, like, yeah, so but let's say they both decide, no, we're going, but it's a financial question now. They can find somebody to come to town. It will cost. It costs £100 to get somebody to come for Shonim Kippur. How do you do it? Do you split it?
Well, two ways or 10 ways?
Good question. So you can either say 11 ways, you can say two ways, or you could argue that, maybe you could argue, what would you say? You could argue maybe, you know, I've been going to Eretz Yisrael for the last 27 years. You only started going last year, so obviously what would be the argument? Yeah, exactly. So how do you figure that out? So Shulchan Aruch says, if there's 11, two people want to go. Two people have to pay b'shutfus people have to, two people have to pay in, as a partnership in Koimam, v'shneim yifu b'shove, half half. £100 to get a person to come, each of them pays £50. What happens if echot oni v'echot osher? What happens if one is very wealthy, one is the richest person in town, and one is the pauper of town? No difference. Shulchan Aruch disagrees. I would have been inclined to say that as you. Shulchan says, no. You've got to take into consideration a person's financial means. So half of it, so the way you figure it out is that... actually, Mishnah Berurah clarifies. It says that it does mean what you say. In this instance, that two are one is rich and one is poor, you take have to pay half each. It doesn't make a difference how rich and poor they are. Now, yeah, so it doesn't make a difference. Yeah, that's what Mishnah Berurah says. It's a Torah Sefer, and everybody pays half. Yeah, the question is as follows. What happens if there was never been 10 people? It's not that it's 10 people and two are going on holiday. Or there's 11 people and two are going away. That's not the question. Not everybody pays out. The question is, if there's only 8 people in that particular settlement. You know Dan Abramsky? Dan Abramsky? You know the famous... Yeah, Dan Abramsky was brought up famously. He was one of the foremost Golim. And my Shrei always tells me that he was brought up in a place where there was no minyan. In a tiny little village. There was no minyan. It was very common. There was nothing wrong with it. People had farms and panosas out of town. There was no minyan. There was no minyan. So imagine there's a place there's only 8 people living there, which was very, very common. And now you want to get, as we mentioned earlier, for Shonim Kippur, the minyan was always to ensure there's a minyan. So now the question is, we're going to have to get 2 more people to come to have a minyan. Now the question is, how do you...
Yeah, so you
know you're right. If there is, I suppose the question will be also if we're now specifically addressing the minig on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The minig is that a kelim makes an effort to ensure to have a minion. You're right, even if there's only 4 people there. Let's try to get a minion of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yeah, you're right, it's probably not a kelim. Yeah. He probably will not appear on the ETD thing. But the question is, how will you... So now the question is, they've all chosen to live, rightly or wrongly, they've all chosen to live in what's the place where there's no Yidden? Like, on the motorway you pass Leighton Brizard, what's that called? Leighton Buzzard, Leighton... It's like on the M1, it's like the first exit, was it? I know it for the petrol stations. What that place called? Yeah, exactly that. Yeah. So fine. So there's 4 people living there. Now you want to know fine. They decided. Okay, Hashem Kippur, we're going to get a minion. How do they? It's going to be £600 now. You got to get 6 people. £600. How do you figure out how much everybody pays? Do you go according to person's wealth? Do you make a membership fee? How does that work?
We discussed a few months ago, membership, we had an argument there, and we said that you thought everybody should be the fee in the wealth, and I thought, because membership, you pay everyone equal.
Every equal, yeah. So here, when it comes to that, this scenario, here again, the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to take into consideration a person's financial means. You've got it's only fair that this multi-billionaire who only lives there because he's got this huge mansion with massive fields and massive... You know, he should pay a little bit more than the guy who only moved there because he's got absolutely no.
He's just got more than you, so now he pays. You stuffed this massive.
It makes sense that he should pay a little bit more towards it. At the end of the day, he is richer. So Mishnah Berurah says, in such an instance, you have to take that into consideration. Everybody has to pay, but a percentage changes. Yeah, there's also another argument the Mishnah Berurah says. I'm reading the last few words in Sifkot and Samaches. What do you think about his argument? The poor people, they could anyway, if there's 4 people living there, you know, these 2 really poor people, It's not hard for them. Just to pack the little suit carrier and go to the next door village where they have second cousins. They can go there. However, the rich people who are shirim ain't yichon alniach beisam v'chusham. The very wealthy people, they can't really move. They're not going to move. They're much too comfortable. They just to go for Yom Tov and to go with these huge possessions and the huge amount of properties they have just to move away. They're not going to do that. So in other words, they should therefore pay a bit more because they don't have an alternative. The poor people, they can just get on their donkey and off they go. So that's why the Mishnah argues the rich people should pay more than the poor. Yeah, and I also feel that nowadays probably the things have changed a bit. Nowadays the argument would be probably the other way around. It's the rich people that can just hop off on a plane and go to Etzol for Yom Tov, and that's it, you know. How many thousands of pounds it may cost, the flight there, and it's not a big deal, another ticket, it's not a problem. And the poor people, they're finding it more difficult to locate themselves elsewhere. Yeah. So, but that's the Meister. The Shulchan Aruch Paskens like that. I wonder if nowadays the halacha would be the same. Continue Shulchan Aruch. What about the chazan? What about the chazan? So you've got these eight people now. They've somehow managed to get the money to have a full minion. Okay. Problem is nobody's got a good voice. They're all flat. And if one of them would daven, they'll all run out. It's really not a great choice. So they've got, I don't know, so why did they move there? Not sure, why did they move there in the first place? Don't know. But the reality is that they want to get a chazan now. They want to get a chazan. How are you going to get that wage? Okay, you get a chazan, second class chazan, but he still charges. How are you going to get the money for him? So here the Shulchan Aruch says, that you know he's going to pay that. Even the two men that have left for Yom Tov, they also need to pay. That's what we call in plain English. Yeah, no, the chazan is another guy that's brought in. So this is a keila now that had eight guys. Two went for Yom Tov, two went away, rich or poor, whatever. They've somehow managed to get two people to come. And now, either number 10 or number 11 is a paid chazan.
They should have got the 10th guy to be the chazan.
Yeah, okay, so let's say it is. Let's say, for argument's sake. It comes. The question now is, who is going to pay for that? Would the chazan cost so and so much money? Who is paying for that? I get that. I get it. That for sure the remaining people, they've got to pay for it. They not only have to pay for the two missing people, they've got to pay for the chazan. I get that. But what about the people who have left town? The ones who have now gone to their Netanya estate with a swimming pool, they've gone there now. Do they have to pay for the chazan? Yes or no? Exactly, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. They've chosen to leave. So fine, good for you, good for you. But you're okay with that or not? You feel comfortable with that?
It's always tax rich.
Yeah. Thanks to Rich. Yeah. Now the question is yes. So, but what about in the following scenario? What happens if you've got a case of somebody who planned to be back for Yom Tov and he got delayed? So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. The Rama says, "Ben chiluk benim roitz lelech lezman oruch koydim yom tov loy kol shelo yachzav yom tov." The Mishnah says as follows: Misha in yochel lachzoy leveis machmas oynes. Somebody who wished to return, but he was unable to. He had an oynes. He was prevented from returning. It was an oynes. Was beyond his control. She'enu reshay lovei b'medina. He's unable to. Didn't get permission, authorization to return back to his. If his plan was to return, but he was unable to, he wouldn't have to pay for this chazan. That's only if he's a real oynes. But if he was partially responsible for that, then he has to pay for it. So the question is as follows: the challenge is as follows. We're now discussing the following case. There is an obligation upon there is an obligation on a community to have a minion, or to ensure there's a minion. What happens if somebody is, and if there is no minion, people have got to pay towards the center. What happens if a person was meant to be back in time for Yom Tov, but he got delayed? He was an oinus. Mishnah Berurah speaks about an oinus gomo, a real oinus. He was planning to be back, but something happened. Does he need to pay for this substitute center, or is he potter? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's a real oinus, he is potter from doing, potter from paying. Pardon? I suppose he will be then divided into nine. I suppose, yeah. Yeah. Now, the Mishnah Berurah discusses the following case. There is a small settlement that only has, they're short of a minion. And generally, they pay people to come to. However, there is also normally an influx of people, their family, their close family, their sons and sons-in-law, the Bochim, they normally come for Yom Tov. They don't always. One year they don't come. Now, do they also, because normally they make part of a minion, this year they are not. Whatever the reason may be, do they have to pay towards the minion or not? Normally they make part, they form the minion. They are part of it, they are the extended family. So Mishnah Berurah says, Yishuvim shatzichim lizko minyan v'chazen, a yishuv which is obligated to pay for a minyan or a chazen, v'yeish svivois, and there's a surrounding area, sheregilim lovoy sham gam kein v'nei beisam, they normally come with their families. Ein tzichim litin klum, a yishuv, they don't have to pay anything towards it. They could go anywhere. That's what Shulchan Aruch paskens. Now finally for tonight, Tzivchov Beis, lo yukoyfin la'askir la'ash le'minyon kim b'yom ne'yroim. As mentioned earlier, the minig is only to force people, to force a small assembly of people to get to a full minyan, yom ne'yroim. Kim b'yom ne'yroim. Lo yukoyfin la'askir, it's an obligation. We force people to get to pay for minyan for the yom ne'yroim. V'chagoyin, shein chaserim kim echod eshnaim. Elim kein, the minig is only specifically in Yom Ne'roim. The rest of the year, there's no, we don't force people. However, if there is a particular village which is known to have that that emphasis to ensure there's always a minion, even beyond Yom Ne'roim, then that's the minig amokim, and anybody has to chip in. And the same applies with regards to chazan as well. That one forces people to pay towards it. Can you find a person that doesn't come to a minion? Can you find a person? Send him an invoice. Look at that. The Gemara says if there is a place that doesn't have a secure minion, you can force people by finding them to come to the minion. Fancy that? You can force people to by financial threat. Shavu Tomei Nivis Knesset Shlo Is Batel Atomit, that the minion should be cancelled. And come on, Reish Simon Kuf Nun in Kofin Zev Zev Nivis Knesset. And there's another discussion elsewhere about forcing people to build a Nivis Knesset. Okay, that's it for this evening. Okay.